name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we gather together to worship Him this evening. I would like to welcome you all as we gather together in the Lord's name so that we could focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to read a few verses from the Bible. The prophet Isaiah said, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." You know, this is the great God that we come to worship. And we're going to be singing our first hymn, "I Stand in Awe." And before we do that, you know, King David once said that he would like to dwell in the house of the Lord all the day of his life. So that,
to do what?
King David say, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. So that we could gaze and behold and look at the beauty of the Lord. And let's stand and sing, "You are beautiful beyond description." Let's all stand. Majestic God, and we could come to worship Him. But He is not only the Creator God who has created us, but He is our Redeemer. He is our Redeemer God. Let's turn to the next hymn where we could sing of Jesus, our Blessed Redeemer. Hymn 254.
Strengthen
is a wonderful hymn that reminds us of the fact that Jesus is our Redeemer. He's the one who died for us on the cross to redeem us from sin so that we could be with the Lord. That we could sing this ever in joyful song. Let's join our hearts together to thank the Lord with joy for this salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that you are our Father who loves us so much that you give your only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for us on the cross. And Lord Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, we thank you. We thank you for your willingness to become a man. And to die for us on the cross. Oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are a Redeemer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Shepherd who guards your children. And you care for us. You lead us. You know your children. And you die for your sheep. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, as we come to you to worship you, we do thank you. Once again, we do not want to take this salvation for granted. And we know that it is because you love us that we could become your children. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, let's continue our worship by singing a very familiar hymn. Hymn 184, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. You know, our God is not only the Creator God, the majestic God. He loves us. He sent His Lord, His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. But He loves us so much that all of us truly could say that we know that Jesus loves us because we have experienced the love of Jesus. This is a familiar hymn. Let's all sing this.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, He who died heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let His little child come clean. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy thine. On the cross you died for me, I will try to live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
But we have just sung this familiar hymn. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Are you convinced of that? Jesus loves me? Are you?
Yeah? Yes. Let's sing it again. All right? Let's all stand. And let's sing the first stanza. Now, when we go to the chorus, let's sing it to one another. Sing it to people around you. Say, yes, Jesus loves you. Okay? Sing to them. All right? Let's sing the first stanza.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so.
Second stanza.
Jesus loves me, He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let His little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so.
The first stanza.
Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy thine. On the cross you died for me,
I will fight for thee.
Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so.
Indeed, Jesus loves all of us, you and me. Please be seated. Well, let's spend, this will be a time where we could pray together in small groups. If you are seated with your children, with family, do pray together. And if you are young children, if you are, let's do get together. If you are an adult or older person, sit with the younger children and pray. One of the things we could do, let's thank God for His love. Let's thank the Lord for His love. You could pray for other things, but one thing we do, let's thank the Lord for His love, for He loves us. All right, let's spend a few moments praying and thanking the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You for loving us. Thank You that You love us. Even though many times, Lord, we have strayed away from You and from Your truth and from Your word, but we know that You love us. You always welcome us back to You. And as we return, we just want to thank You, and we sense and know that You welcome us with open arms and open hands. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your love. Oh Lord, even as we come together to pray as a church family, we do commit every family represented here and every family in this church into Your hands. We ask that, Lord, You would bless them and bless the father and the mother in the family, that they would be able to lead and to raise the children in your way. And we do commit every son and daughter into your hand, that you would bless them with your heavenly blessing, that you would bless them with the wisdom from on high, that as they make decisions in their lives, that they would make them wisely, that they would seek you and they would be able to give their hearts to you. We do commit every family into your hands. And Lord, we do pray also for the leaders in our nation. We pray for President Bush and his cabinet. And Lord, we pray that you would give President Bush wisdom as he leads and as he makes decisions for the country, especially in times with the conflicts in the world, in the Middle East, and in Iraq, North Korea, and other parts of the world. Oh Lord, we pray that you would give the leaders of our country the fear of the Lord, that as they make decisions, they would make it in the fear of the Lord and with justice and mercy. Father, we thank you and we commit every one of us here into your hands. We ask that, Lord, that you be glorified. We pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is the Saturday where we'll have the children's sermon. So I would like to invite all children, please do come forward here and be seated here. And Elder Swan too will be sharing with you a message.
Everybody, it's good to see you. Before coming up, I was discussing with my wife where I should stand. Should I stand up there? Should I sit amongst you? But if I do it that way, I will constantly have to move my head 180 degrees. By the end of my sermon, I probably will be completely disoriented. So that was not a good idea. And I was thinking maybe I'll stand there and facing you guys. But then, you know, I will leave the entire audience behind me. That's not good either. So I decided I'll stand here until someday when the church decides to have a revolving pulpit so we can do this. That would be nice, right? Okay. Yeah, I may turn dizzy too. Well, that would be a test of whether I could become a pilot in the future, you know, when I grow older. Now, today the title of my sermon is Guard Your Heart. To guard your heart. Okay, where's your heart? In here. Do you have to guard it? No, you have many layers of muscles and blood vessels. Skin, everything there to protect your heart. What does it mean to guard my heart? Well, this refers to your mind and your thought, and which is more important than your physical heart. Okay, let me start with a story. All right. Once upon a time, there was a farmer, and next to his farmhouse, and next to this field, there was a forest. And in the forest, there lived a... Do you have rabbits living in your neighborhood? Some of you do. They come around, sometimes look very cute, right? Oh, a bunny! You're a cute bunny! Hey, well, bunnies are cute, but when they are eating up your garden, that's not good, right? When collected something, you have carrots, tomatoes, you have maybe other things, you name it. What? Okay, that's a good one. Okay, you when you plant, after you plant the seed, you water it, and then you put fertilizer, you take away all the kinds of bugs, and it, and you have the really nice prize-winning garden. Prize-winning garden, right? And one day when you're about to harvest, yes, you need to change your box. All right, so enough for rabbits. Okay, now there in that forest there was a small rabbit who always comes around to the farmhouse, and he was filled with curiosity. He wanted to explore what's in that house. So what do the rabbits eat? Carrots, grass, right? As their natural or normal food. But this rabbit, sometimes he was just so curious that he wanted to know what's in the kitchen, because the that kind of flavor constantly comes out and smells good. So as this small rabbit went around over and over the house, one day the farmer noticed, and he decided to catch this rabbit. He wanted this rabbit. Uh-oh. So the farmer's eyes locked on this rabbit, although this little poor bunny did not know that he was already locked on by radar. Right. So he still came around, and this farmer started putting something outside this kitchen, outside the door. He put some sweet potato chips, and put some beans, and put some peas, and it looked very nice, and even some cabbages tasted very sweet. So the bunny, he ate it all and went home. Oh, that's his greatest day. And then the next day, the bunny came again, and there was some more food. And after a few days, when the bunny got used to the routine, and he stopped eating grass, you know, and he just relied on this food left at the kitchen door. And one day, this farmer decided to, finally, the day has come. He wants to catch this rabbit. What does he do? Well, this farmer is not a Chinese farmer. Okay, the Chinese farmer, they are even more trickier. So, have you ever tasted the sweet rice? The kind of rice that mommy and daddy or some other people, they use to make what? They make niangao. Yes! Very good! And niangao is very sticky, right? It tastes good, but it's kind of sticky. And if you have a niangao piece dropped on your clothes, it's very difficult to pull it off, right? So this farmer used the sweet rice and made rice shaped like a bunny. Okay, he made it big and sitting at the door. And this now the rabbit came around again. He saw the food first, and he ate it all, and he felt good, and he was singing, he was dancing, and all of a sudden he saw this bunny again. He saw this bunny, this sweet rice made bunny, which looks big and fluffy, and he said, I have a friend here. He came around and looked. That bunny did not move and looked very sober. So this bunny said, you're no fun, and he went home. The next day, the farmer placed the bunny a little away from the house, right in the way between the kitchen, the food where he left the food, and the way that this little bunny will come. So he stood in the way like a guard. So this little bunny got a little uneasy, and he went around and he said, "Who are you standing my way? I'm going to remove you." So you know what he did? He started. That was the first step of his mistake. He started punching this guy, this sweet rice bunny. Boom! He could not pull off. And he got so mad. And
And then he looked at the food. He did not even have the time to enjoy the food. And now he's getting stuck with this, sticky bunny. And then he pulled his second fist. And, yes, again. He could not pull off. And what did he do in the next? He still has two foot, right? He kicked. That was the third one. Finally, his last resort. So he completely immobilized on that bunny, looking like he was embracing that bunny, but it was not out of his own will, right? Oh, well, that was the end of the story. I hate to tell you what happened to this bunny. I'm not going to elaborate on that. Well, the same kind of thing happened in real life, right? When we are lured into something bad, something we really are not entitled to, and it looks so good to us, and gradually we build a habit, and we're stuck with it, and finally it can take over us, and we become the slave of it. And there are so many things in our lives that you can get addicted to, right? Like what? What did your teachers tell you? What can get you addicted to? Yes. Drugs, of course. Yes, what else? Alcohol? Bad stuff. Yes. TV? Yes. You know, there was a statistic. In America, kids spend an average 6 hours on the TV. That's no joke. Okay, what else? Yes. Internet! Yes, that can get us addicted, right? And sometimes, internet, if we spend too much time on it, we got so much into it and we cannot pull away from it. It's like a magnet. It's like a sweet rice, sticky bunny. We cannot pull away from it. And when mommy said, it's time to eat, no, I'm not coming. Right, yes. Say? Smoking, yes. Cheating? The more you cheat, and then the more you get used to it, right? One day you cannot just get away from it. Yes. Computer. Yes. Computers are good stuff, I have to say. But they can also become your idol, right? So you have to use it, but not be used by it. Yes.
When you drink a lot of root beers.
Root beers? I'm not sure. You get...
Every day you drink.
Okay, you can get used to it, Coca-Cola. And I know a kid once, he told his mom and dad, he said, I'm thirsty. And mom and dad gave him a glass of water. What? You're giving water to drink? As if like water was poison to him. This is something that I would never drink because every day I live on Coke. Oh, okay, you can get addicted. Okay, now I have to close my sermon because I have something else going on here. I have another sermon to deliver. Now, you know, our ancestor, the very two people, what are their names? Yes, Adam and Eve. They were not careful enough. They did not guard their heart well enough, right? So when Satan came around, they believed in Satan. And Satan told Eve, hey, you have to be your own person, right? And is that good to be your own person? Eve said, yes, yes. You want to grow up and control your own life and do whatever you want to do? And okay, now, lesson number one, eat that fruit. No, I cannot do that. God said, I'm not supposed to do that. God said, I can eat all the fruit, any kind of fruit in this garden, except that one. And Satan said, what? Yeah, come on. God did not mean that. He's not that serious about it. Try it. Just try it. Give it a try. And Eve said. And she would not even look at the fruit. But this time she took a second peek. And the third time, and Satan said, do it, try it. And once he tried it, what happened? Yes. They knew they were naked. And So they knew that something was not right there. And they started to determine what is wrong. Adam ate it too. And they decided they are going to determine what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. Okay, God, you don't tell me what to do. I'm American, okay? American does not listen to anybody. I'm my own person, okay? And then the tragedy happens. Adam started a quarrel with his wife. And their kids did not get along either later on. And there's just so many problems among the nations, among the people, right? Among the siblings too. It's all because we want to determine what is right and what is wrong. And we leave God completely out of our bedroom, out of our world, and lock him into a church building. God's supposed to live in the church and not in my own life, right? So all the mess started with one thing, that Eve did not guard her heart. She listened to Satan. In the New Testament, so Adam and Eve, they failed. They failed God, they failed themselves too. But in the New Testament, God let his own son, Jesus, come to this world. And Jesus was a perfect man. He was a God too. He was also a perfect man. And he did what the Father is pleased to this. He did everything to please God. But that does not mean Jesus was never under temptations. When was Jesus tested by temptations? Who tested Jesus? Yes. Ghost? Yes. Yes. Satan, the devil, right? The devil came around and wanted to tell Jesus, hey, don't listen to God. Listen to me. Listen to me. But Jesus guided his own heart. Jesus said, no, I'm going to listen to God. And God's word will govern my life. So, not only Jesus pleased God, he was successful and lived out a good meaning of his life. And he accomplished the salvation and he saved us from sin. And the Father, God the Father glorified Jesus. Now we are also worshiping and glorifying Jesus. Now every one of us, when we believe in Jesus, we are a new creation. Everything is new. So before, we live in a life of sinning against the God. But now God gives us a second opportunity, and the only opportunity, a very precious opportunity, because it was bought by Jesus' blood. Now we're a new creation. So you have you're a new person now. So you can guard your heart and live according to God's word. And you should be careful and start practicing guarding your heart. Don't spend too much time on the computer and don't spend too much time on the internet. You can still use it, enjoy it. But when mommy and daddy said, you're supposed to stop and you should go to bed or you should go do your homework or do some exercise, do something else and talk to me. Don't just talk to the computer. That's the time to stop, right? You should start practicing the self-control and to guard your heart. And you set your mind to please God and to please your parents. So this way, you don't determine everything good and evil by yourself, and not based on your own desire, but really you set your mind to please your parents and to please God. So this way, you will never be a loser. And in contrast, you will become an overcomer, a winner in this world, in your life. All right? That's the end of my sermon. Now I'm going to pray for you. All right? You can pray in your own heart, too, and ask God to help you to be alert and also always be able to guard your own heart. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for all the kids who are sitting here that you will speak to them and you will encourage them, you will help them, give them the strength to overcome all the difficulties and also to win over all the temptations so nobody can steal their hearts from you. Father, God, guard them throughout their life so that they will grow, when they grow up, they will be a happy person. They will enjoy the relationship with you wherever they go, whatever they do, whatever decision they make, they will set their mind to honor you and to please you. When your heart is pleased,
their heart will be satisfied too. Father, I just pray for all the kids, not only this year, now, next year, and 3 years from now, 30 years from now, throughout their whole life, they will be your vessel of blessing. They will be a blessing to many, many other people, and they will be happy people too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now you can go to your Saturday school classroom.
Isn't it lovely to see how attentive these young people are, and as they listen to Elder Santu's message? While the children are leaving, may I invite you to stand, please? Please stand. And could you please also move forward? Would you please? Come on. I think, you know, so we could come closer, because afterwards, and Elder Santu, if you could fill out the first few rows, that would be wonderful. Well, let me just highlight a few announcements. That's the first announcement in the bulletin, and that concerns the registration for Saturday Bible class and Sunday schools for the spring quarter, which will begin next week. If you have not, especially for the youth, the young people, if you have not registered for the Sunday school or your Saturday Bible classes or Sunday school class, please do fill in a registration form, which you'll be able to get from the information desk in the church lobby. It would be important for you to fill that in so that we could assign classrooms, and then we know what class you are interested in attending. Now, as you know, in this church, we are always looking for people. There's always a need for co-workers to serve. And we read that in item number 4, teachers are needed and helpers for the 9:15 and 11 o'clock nursery and preschool classes on Sunday. And also, number 5, there will be a parent-teachers meeting. The Saturday meeting would be held on next Saturday for grade 1 to grade 6. They'll meet at 6 to 6:30 p.m. in the regular classroom. This would be a great opportunity for you to interact with the teachers, you know, to find out what's happening in the classroom and to find out about, you know, your children in the classroom. Also, serving opportunities, announcement number 8. We are looking for co-workers to serve as pianists on the Saturday English service and also the Sunday family worship service. If your children are interested in serving, please contact Mrs. Mindy Chu, all right, by the end of this month. So we are really trying to encourage more people, especially young people, who have the heart and have the training to serve as pianists in worship services. I would also like to welcome, if there's anyone who's visiting us for the first time, is there anyone who are visiting us for the first, worshiping with us for the first time? Would you please stand and tell us your name and where you're from? We'd like to know you and to recognize you. Anyone on my right? How about on my left? I think all familiar faces. Wonderful that we could worship together. Now let's continue our worship by turning to God's Word. Today we'll be reading from two short passages from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, and then Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Let's read together. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. 14 verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Elder Chuan Tzu would be speaking to us and sharing with us on the message that's entitled, Guard Your Heart.
Thank you, Yisong. I would like to invite you to read another verse in the book of Proverbs, if you could open your Bible to chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Let us read together. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Let's do it once again. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. As I just shared with the kids, what is a heart? The heart is not just a physical heart. Heart here means our attitude to God, our attitude to man. The heart represents our identification with a value system. Heart also has to do with our choice of relationship and how much we value a relationship. The Bible tells us about God, and we also learn about His salvation, and we accepted Lord Jesus as our Savior. Now, through Jesus, we know who God is and how good God is. As we are attending the Sunday services or Saturday services longer and longer, more and more, as we are doing personal devotion longer and longer, we begin to know more about God. We know that God's attributes. There, God has many attributes which are just awesome. He knows everything and He can do everything. That's for example, He knows about the past, He knows about now, He knows about the future. Everything is under His control. He rules over everything. Not only He knows everything, but also He knows about your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your thoughts, and He knows your deeds. Even a lot of things that your spouse may not know, or if your parents may not know, if your kids may not know, but God knows. He knows every bit of your thought. Even when you are asleep, He was not asleep. If you check out the Psalm 139, where it says, when we are asleep, He is still awake. He is watching over us. He cares about us. God is also perfect. He is holy, and He is righteous, and He's beautiful. And the Bible tells us about His holiness. Holiness is not something we can sing, we can talk about in a cheap manner. Holiness means good. Holiness also means that we cannot just get close to it. It's like a fire. It has a power of purification. It consumes all the impurities. So when we want to have a part with God's holiness, and we must give away our own way of life, give away sins, to turn away from sin so that we can have a part of God's holiness. We also know that God is love. God is merciful. He cares. He's nice. He's thoughtful. Sometimes I learn about God through watching the way my parents live, or some elderly people live around me.
remember once I went to a place in Taiwan. I went to a place for an interview, and for that interview, I need to get a permission to come back to the United States as a permanent resident. So for that interview, I need to bring a lot of paperwork with me, a lot of legal documents with me. And I was very confident about myself. So I had a whole folder. I got everything in there. I did not even want to check because I spent so much time, did so much work on it, and it's done. I did not want to look at it again. I just want to wait till the day of interview to come. So on that morning, during that time period of time, I was living in my parents-in-law's house. And that morning, my father-in-law asked me, are you sure you have everything ready? You're not missing any important documents? I said, oh, yes, I've checked it over and over 10 times already. Don't worry about it. And he said, okay, do you mind if I go with you? I said, you don't have to take the trouble. You can just go to the park and take a walk, and I'll be back in an hour. He said, I really would like to go with you. Would you mind? I like that neighborhood. Maybe I can take a walk there. I said, okay. So this old man was following me, and we got in a taxi, and the taxi took us both to that office. So just before I entered that office, he said, Chuan Chu, I think you better check again your documents, make sure you got everything. I said, okay, since we were early, and so there was about 10-minute waiting time, I said, okay, I'll do it. You know, when I was going through the documents, all of a sudden, my face turned very pale. You know why? I missed the most important one. And I did not, I was kicking myself. How could I forget it? And then, the first moment, my face was pale. The next moment, my face was as red as an apple. You know why? Because it was so embarrassing. And I was stuck because that appointment was so difficult to schedule. If I miss it, I probably had to wait for another month or even 3 months. I just did not have the time. So at that very embarrassing moment, my father-in-law pulled out something from his pocket. He said, Chuan Chu, here is it. Of course, he did not steal it from me. And what happened was I dropped it somewhere. I never bothered to check again. And my father-in-law, being so caring, being so thoughtful, he did not want to embarrass me. He did not want to confront me. Instead, you know, he was very wise. And he was making a request to me and being so polite to me. He said, can I go with you? And I learned a lot of wisdom from him. And God, in some way, is just like my father-in-law. He cares. And when you mess up, he will clean it up for you. And when you feel helpless, at that very moment, you think you're doomed, God is there. God is there. So we have a wonderful God. We have a caring God. We have a wise God. We have a God who is powerful also. In the meantime, as Christians, we are very special people. How special are we? Well, we got three titles here. You're not just a Christian, but also you are a child of God, of the universe, who is higher, who is far greater than the President of the United States. He did not serve a term of 4 years or 8 years, and he has to retire. No, he never retires. He reigns from forever to forever. We are his children. Wow. What a privilege it is. And the Bible also tells us we are the friends of the King who is to come. Jesus shall reign not only all over the earth, but all over the universe and beyond the universe. Jesus the Son of God, the King, to come. And Jesus called his disciples my friend. We are also called the students of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, who will guide us and lead us into truth. When we study the Bible, who is there to illuminate for us? Who is there to tell us what the Bible is about? What God wanted to communicate to us through this book? That is the Holy Spirit. When sometimes we are depressed, we fall into difficulties when we sin, who is there to worry for us? Who is there to comfort us? Who is there to speak to us? Who is there to give us the strength and help us to stand up again? The Holy Spirit. We are His students. Being the children of God, being the friends of Jesus, being the student of the powerful Holy Spirit, we are very blessed people. We are very privileged people too. Can you imagine? You can go, you can have a free access, free pass, going in and out God's palace. That is more precious. That's much more prestigious than a pass, a free pass in and out the White House. Can you imagine? Not only we have this pass to come to God's presence, to His throne, to tell Him everything, but also we have a hotline, a 24/7 hotline that will never hit an answering machine, that will never be taken by an operator. That line is always answered by a live person, which is God Himself. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that you have a hotline, not talking about to God, you have a, if you have a pass to the White House, free pass, multiple entry pass to the White House, if you can have a hotline, you can pick up, you dial a number, you can expect President Bush is on the end all the time for you just because you are his closest friend. Wow. What does it feel? We have something that is more precious, of more value, than just a hotline to the White House. So we are a group of people that being chosen by God and also being appointed by God. Not only He chose us, He loved us, He gave us a privileged status, but also He sets a purpose for our lives, a noble purpose and the great work He wanted to accomplish with us together. So we are called His servants. But this kind of servants is different from all any other kind of servants. I recently got to know a brother in our church who used to be the bodyguard of Colin Powell. As soon as people learn about what he used to do, people say, "Wow, tell us more about it." And they got so excited. And he shared with us about his job, his missions, and what kind of things he has been doing. And how he interacts with his boss. Oh boy, that was an eye-opening experience for many kids, and including myself. So being this kind of servant is so different. It's so such an honor, right? So we are God's servant, and He has a purpose. He has a mission for us. That's great. So we should treasure this kind of privilege and use this hotline and go to visit our God all the time. He will never tell you, "Hey, I'm busy now. Could you wait for a minute?" No, God is never too busy to listen to our prayer. He is never too busy to listen to our praise. And sometimes you really feel bad. You feel sorrowful. You don't even have to praise Him. Just come to Him. "Daddy, I need you." And He will just embrace you and hold you in His bosom And you don't have to say anything. You can feel his heartbeat. You can feel his pulse. And you know he's there. You can feel his warmth next to you. And in his bosom, you can have a true rest. This is our God. How precious it is to be his children, to be the friends of Christ, and to be the students of the Holy Spirit. So, we should treasure this privilege. We don't bring shame to him, of course. And we will not make him worry. And we never want to mess up this relationship or abuse this privilege. The Bible tells us we should guard our heart. Guard this wellspring. Why do we need to guard it? Because there's someone there constantly watching and who wanted to take this privilege away from us and turn us into a really miserable slave. That's why we need to guard this privilege and we need to guard our hearts. There are at least the three reasons said in the Bible that we need to guard our hearts carefully. The first one is in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 41. If I may have a family read together loud to us. Let's open Matthew 26, 41. Which families are sitting together who are willing to? The loose family, would you like to read this verse to us? Brian, Dad, and Mom. Matthew chapter 26, 41. You don't have to stand up. Just read where you are. Ready? All right. So the first reason is because we are so vulnerable. We are so weak. Don't think you are that strong. Hey, those disciples, when Jesus said this to his disciples, they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And they were with Jesus. Physically, they were with Jesus. And Jesus told them over and over, be alert, be awake. And what happened? They were so tired. They were so vulnerable. And when Jesus went aside and started praying. They were also praying, but praying a different way, right? Sometimes in the Sunday services or Saturday evening services, you play basketball in the afternoon, or Daddy and Mommy, you went to a shopping for half a day. You really got tired out, and you came to the church Saturday night. What happened? Sometimes when we are closing eyes in prayer and praying, some people will pray like this, and I know you are awake if I am looking at you. Then for some other people, they are praying like this. I know you're not. You're doing something else, right? That's what the disciples do. Sometimes, you know, I sympathize with those people who are dozing because, you know, Jesus' disciple also did that. I know you are very tired. You work very hard. Well, try to be awake. And, you know, I sympathize with those people because once in a while, I fell asleep in the middle of service too. And when I'm trying not to fall asleep, I have to spend so much energy. Sometimes, in 5 minutes, I was covered with sweat in the winter time because I tried to stay awake, but I couldn't. We are vulnerable. We are weak. So we need to ask the Lord's grace to help us. So we need to guard our heart because we are vulnerable. We are weak. Number two, reason number two, is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. If I may ask Raymond and Raymond's dad to read it together. Raymond Lee and dad.
First Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. Could you read loud so we can all hear from you? First Peter 5, 8 to 9. Thank you. The devil is prowling like a roaring lion, although we cannot see him. You know, it was once when I was young, I was very much scared of darkness. Every time, you know, when the lights is out or when there's a storm that blew away all the electric wires and, you know, when there's darkness, I was got so scared. And once I asked my pastor, how can I get rid of this scary life, got out of this scare, and the pastor told me the way that, the pastor first asked me, why are you so scared of darkness? I said, well, because there are ghosts all over the places. He said, how do you know there are so many ghosts? Well, I read so many fairy tales and books, and they said the ghosts are all over the places. I'm scared. And he said, no, don't you listen to me. Those ghosts that you know about, that are visible, are not scary. And you should be scared of the ghost that is invisible. Okay, I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, well, it's the greed. And it's lust and the evil thoughts, evil desire in you that Satan is trying to use. Those are the real ghosts. And Satan is the real enemy, and you have to be guard it. You don't have to. Those ghosts do not cannot bother you. They may not exist at all. It's all just your imagination. So you don't have to be. You have to fear when you're in darkness, when the lights are out. Don't worry. You don't have a worry. You can still go to sleep peacefully. But what you really have to be guarded against, be really scared of, is the devil that are constantly trying to make you, tempt you to do bad things. Doesn't matter you're a child or when you grow up 30 years from now, 40 years from now. I found that to be very true. Till now, sometimes I'm still a chicken. You know, I'm still scared. I'm scared of being alone. But I'm not that scared anymore. But I do know one thing, that I have to be very guarded every minute, every moment against the evil one. Because the temptations are all over the places. Reason number three that we have to guard our heart is cited in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. May I ask Tiffany Huang and Timothy, right? The Huangs to read for us. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Heard it. There will be terrible times in the last days. We are in the end time of history now. And this world is getting worse and worse. Very terrible. Sometimes I heard kids making remarks to their parents, oh, this TV programs are neutral. I mean, you decide what is right or what is not right. It's okay. You never know who is controlling the TV programs. You never know, you probably don't know who's controlling all the MTVs. Sister Shirley once shared with us, the senior vice president of NTB once made a statement. I'm paraphrasing from it like this. He said, we have to grab all the hearts of all the young generation, and by making them numb to the sense of good and evil. We have to do this in order to make money and do our business. This is a public statement he made. I'm paraphrasing from it. If you're interested in the original transcript, I can check with Sister Shirley Wu about it. This is what is behind this. All they care about, the behind the many, many news media, the force that's behind it is, it's not just all for money, but also for the control, for controlling the way of thinking of this generation. So many TV programs, I'm not saying all the programs, many of them are nothing more than, are anything but be beneficial to you. And they're nothing but some brainwashing tools and trying to teach us and to brainwash us with this world's value system and take us away and tell you, do this, it's okay. Doing that thing, it's okay. There's no such thing as absolute good and bad, good and evil. And God, after all, hey, there may be a God, but he does not care. He lives far, far away from us. Every religion is good. It's teaching people to do good things. So Christianity, yeah, is one of them. It's one of the ways, but there could be many other ways. We should be tolerant. In truth, there's no tolerance. If someone tells you to jump from the 10th floor to the first floor to the ground, will you believe it? No, I'm not going to do it. Well, you should be tolerant. There's nothing that's absolute. Jump. You are too stubborn. Just try it. Oh, test. Put your hand in the fire. You're not going to get hurt. You know what I'm talking about. You know it sounds stupid, but a lot of times we know something we should never be doing, we should never be involved, but we have a second thought. We were told that it is okay, and we will give it a room, give it a chance. This time is bad. It's terrible. We are living in the last days. And the Bible clearly sends us a warning to be alert. We are weak, we are vulnerable, and we are constantly being watched by someone who wants to prey us, someone who is prowling like a roaring lion. And we need to be alert, we need to guard our hearts because the time is terrible. In the Bible, you might have read a story, a tragic story. The character's name is Samson. Oh, Samson. We all know about Samson. Oh, yes, he's the macho guy who is very powerful. What did Samson do? He killed a lion? Yes, killed a lion alive. And what else did he do? When people were trying to, the Philistines were trying to trap him by closing the gate of the city, what did he do? He took off the gate, and he probably was thinking, oh, I just need a bed. This looks like a good bed for me. He took off, and he scared the Philistines to death, right? He has a lot of power. And he killed many people, and he was smart, too. Once he played a game against the Philistines, he caught how many foxes from the field? What did he do? He tied the fox tail with some straw, right? And then put some oil on it and set fire on them. And those foxes were like fire foxes, real fire foxes. They all rush into the field of the Philistines and burn up all their fields, right? That's what Samson did. And how did Samson lose his strength? He gave away the secret, right? Which is in where? In his hair. So the woman Delilah cut his hair, and he became just like a normal man. So you
I'm just trying to use a little time to familiarize you with Samson's story. And there are a few things in Samson's life. I believe most of you are, know the story well, so I'm not going to get into details. But I just want to highlight a couple of important things. The first, how did Samson's life start going downhill? It started when he ignored his parents' advice, right? He was a Nazarite. He is a man that is separate to serve God only. And in the Bible, it clearly taught that as a Nazarite, you're not supposed to touch that body, and you're supposed to keep yourself clean and holy. Instead, Samson made a series of mistakes. And he saw a Philistine girl. Oh, she's cool. She's hot. No, man, well, guys are cool. Girls are hot, right? Oh, she's hot. I want her, have her be my wife. His will was completely driven by his flesh desire. And his judgment was purely based upon what? The outlook of the woman. You know, a lot of times, just outward appearance, looking at outward appearance is very dangerous. You know, some snakes, they look very pretty, but you dare touch it, and you will eat the fruit, right? There is a consequence. And some mushrooms, they look just beautiful. It's not as plain as mushrooms you see in a supermarket, right? Some mushrooms are covered with all kinds of colors, so beautiful. And not only you want to grab it, but also you really want to eat it. And you try it. Just try it. One bite is going to kill you, right? So just outward appearance does not represent what's inside. Sometimes we have to be careful, especially for guys, for girls too. You really have to know the person, to know the family, and then make your critical decision whether you want to hang out with this person or not. And Samson made his decision purely based on his own flesh desire, and he ate the fruit. So that was the starting of his fall. And then he pulled out the honeycomb from the dead lion, and he not only he ate it, and he got some for his parents, and his parents did not check with him, and he did not tell. It was like what we are saying today: don't ask and don't tell, just eat it. Samson violated God's advice over and over, God's instruction over and over. And to make a long story short, finally, Samson gave away the last secret of his life. What's the big deal about giving out that secret, about that the hair? What's the big deal about the hair? It's not just the hair. It's not just the strength. When Samson told the secret to the Philistine woman, essentially, he's forfeiting, he's trashing the covenant between himself and God. Basically, he's saying, I'm tired of this. You're bugging me all the time, so I don't care about my relationship with God. Here's the secret. I'll give you everything. So Samson, the last front, the last line of Samson's guard, or his defense, collapsed. He just did not care about his covenant with God anymore. He does not care being God's children, being Christ's friend. He does not care who the Holy Spirit is. He acted on his own. He indulged his own desire, and he ate that fruit. Does this remind you of someone else in the Bible? Cain is alike, and Esau was alike, right? Esau, one day when he came back from home, from the field, it was so hot, and it was so, so tired, and he saw Jacob making the red stew. He said, "I want to eat have some stew." And Jacob said, "Now give me your birthright." And Esau said, "I'm going to die. What does a birthright going to do good to me? What that have to do with me?" And he gave it away. You know what the birthright is? Birthright is not just the right of inheriting the the money or the wealth from the father. More importantly, in that family, birthright means inheritance of God's blessing and also the covenant, the person who is supposed to guard the covenant between the family and God. And Esau thought that was something that can be exchanged for rest too. A lot of times, aren't we doing the same thing? We exchange our precious time, our precious youth, strength, for some TV programs, for some internet, for unlimited internet time. We exchange it for, I'm not saying internet is bad. I'm not saying computer games are bad. I'm not saying football games, some adults, they love to watch football games and non-stop basketball games on the TV. Those games are not bad things. You need that kind of relaxation. You need that kind of entertainment. That's fine. But when you are addicted to it and lured to it, and then when the bond between you and the internet, the bond between you and the games, the bond between you and the TV, the bond between you and a bad habit, bond between you and some lust desires takes over and can reach to a point that its value can override the value of your covenant with God, you are in trouble. A lot of things are neutral. A lot of things are not neutral. Non-neutral things you have to be very careful about. Even some neutral things you have to guard your heart against too. Okay. You use it, but you do not become used by it. And Samson started with something that looked like neutral, but eventually he just completely gave up. Samson could have been used by God to be a real hero. Instead, he became a tragic hero. So how are we going to guard our hearts? Once was said by Martin Luther again, I was paraphrasing. He said, you cannot stop the birds from flying over you. But what you can do is to stop it from building a nest on your head. Right? So we cannot keep the temptations away from us, but we can prevent it from settling in our hearts, in our thoughts. Earlier, I talked to the children about Eve, who put her own self-fulfillment on top of God's word. She wants to enjoy the complete freedom. He does not want God to violate her privacy, his personal right. She made her own choice, and you know what the consequence is. And also mentioned about our Lord Jesus, when he was facing the temptation, he was also vulnerable, and he was hungry, and Satan was trying to convince him, and he can make his own decision, use his own way, since he's the Son of God. And Satan also is trying to tempt him to worship Satan in order to exchange for some gains, for the world's glory. And our Lord could tell, who could differentiate, who could discern the trick of Satan. And our Lord, remember, who took him to the desert? It was the Holy Spirit. Who ordered him to start fasting? That was the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit did not say yes, he was not supposed to eat. So he listened to the Holy Spirit. And he listened to God's order. He abided by God's order. He did not let the needs from his own, his physical needs or what he is seeing to supersede what God said. And he took God's word seriously. And what was the secret of his victory over Satan? One of the very important things is he's very familiar with the law, with God's word. Jesus used God's word all the time, and he used it rightly. He was not misquoting. He was using it at the right time. Even our Lord could tell that Satan is misquoting God's word. He could tell. Can you tell? Can I tell? That is very important. And there is no secret to get to that stage. It's not because he's the Son of God. We can also be equipped
with such a defense mechanism, defense weapon, if we're familiar with God's word. I was so happy to listen to Timothy Huang's testimony. It was filled with the Bible verses. I know he memorized the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the two books. So when he was giving his baptismal testimony, it was so enjoyable. He knows God's word. I'm sure God will use him. Also, he is equipped with the most advanced, most sophisticated weapon to battle against the Satan, and he will win because he is not only memorizing God's word, but he's using God's word rightly. He treasures God's word. Finally, not only we need to be familiar with God's word, we also need to pray all the time, as our Lord taught us. Pray all the time. Because the spirit is willing, the body is weak. And we can come to God to pray all the time, even when you did something really bad, really wrong. Because our Lord was tempted similarly, although he did not sin. But he knows how difficult it was. He knows how tough the life is. He knows. So as long as you are willing to turn to him, he will always accept you. Even you feel bad about yourself, he feels good about you when you turn around and confess your sin to him, as said in 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 9. You can also reference to chapter 4 in the book of Hebrews, verses 15 and 16. So pray and read God's word. Familiarize yourself with God's words. The last thing I want to share with you is self-control. You read the story of Daniel in the book of Daniel, chapter 1. So, exercise self-control. And Daniel refrained from eating the king's food and his wine. What does that mean? That means Daniel refused to identify himself with the value system of this world. Doesn't matter how attractive it is, how appealing it is to him. He refused it. So exercise your self-control and use your time, your resources in a constructive manner, in a godly manner. Whether you're using the computer or you're watching the ball game, enjoy it, but also exercise self-control. Let us be close to God. Keep close walk with God and look up to our Lord Jesus and constantly rely on the Holy Spirit. Live out God's will, please him, and be a true friend of the King. Be a good children. Be good children of God. Be good student of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for giving us such a privilege. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us and guard our hearts. And help us to exercise wisdom and self-control. So all the time we are awake, we are alert. Not only because we are serving the King, but because we treasure this privilege. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite you to sing a response hymn 380. Shall we all stand up? Let us sing twice. Try to memorize it.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. Oh, thou Spirit divine, oh, my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity.
thou Spirit divine, O my nature refine, to the beauty of Jesus be seen in me.
Before the benediction, I'd like to make two quick announcements. First is that I ask you to pray for Elder Jung, who had not been in good health for the past 2 weeks. He got some inflammation. His left face was swollen, and he's on heavy dose of antibiotics, and he has a missions trip to Taiwan next week. So pray for him. If you have, if you can see him, if he comes in tomorrow morning, or any of you will be in tomorrow morning, or you can drop an email to him and telling him you pray for him. And also, today is his birthday. Say happy birthday to him, too. And that will help and comfort him a lot. The other announcement is that we're going to start a new quarter of Sunday school next Saturday. And there will be a class on the history books of the Old Testament. We welcome all the parents and the children to join to study together. So the class starts at 6:30. So you feel welcome to sign up for that class. Now let's receive a benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, till forevermore. In the doxology. Give us a page.
Praise the Father, all blessings flow. Praise Him, all He cheers here below. Praise Him, all the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated. I have a silent prayer. You may be dismissed.